to What's the Mood, where we talk all things mood and mindset, sleep, nutrition, chemical health, and leadership. We are so glad you're here.
Hello, Asa. Thank you for joining me this afternoon for the What's the Mood podcast. How are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Of course, I'm doing good too. So awesome. Well, I'm very happy that you are here today with us. To begin, would you be able to just introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about your background?
Yeah, so my name's Alyssa Rothmuller, and I currently run the Boone County Drug Prevention Coalition. So by my background, I went to Northern Illinois University. I have a degree in public health with health promotion emphasis. Out of college, I started working at Rosecrans, which for people who might not be familiar, that is a substance abuse treatment facility and mental health treatment as well. It's one of the leading in the Midwest, and I got my feet wet there working, doing case management, and that is where I got to see a wide scope of what kinds of problems we are actually dealing with when it comes to substance misuse. And not just with adults, I was working with adolescents, everyone, and I was floored by the amount of people who needed treatment for just an array of substance use problems and mental health problems. So for me, that kind of helped open the door to other things. It really gave me some perspective on, you know, some of the things that need to be done in our communities that we serve. And one of the hardest parts of that was when people in your own walks of life were calling and you were the person answering their call and you had to turn their call over to somebody else to help. And it just kind of, it would always hit home and you would think to yourself, okay, all these people in my own backyard now are going through something and I need to do something different. Like I don't want my kids, I don't want their kids, I don't want, you know, other people as they get older to have to deal with substance misuse disorders and some of the pitfalls with behavioral health. So then my next phase of life, I went to Winnebago County Health Department and I became a prevention specialist. And there I got to do a lot of coalition work. I developed one of the first youth leadership councils there with their mayor and chairman, and that became a huge success. And then I did just kind of a wide variety of youth prevention education, you know, in a lot of the at-risk schools. So it was really challenging at times, but I didn't get the opportunity to branch out as much as I could now. So when the opportunity came for me to come to Boone County, our funding allowed for us to do a lot more and to serve our county differently. So that was really helpful for us to be able to do the magnitude of programming that we've been able to accomplish here in Boone County.
Wow, yeah, thank you. That's amazing. Thank you for sharing all of that. So you mentioned that you work for the Boone County Drug Prevention Coalition. Can you just start off by telling us a little bit how you first got involved with that coalition and what drew you to this kind of work?
Yep. So the Boone County Drug Prevention Coalition was new to me. I had learned about them a little bit when I was working in Winnebago County, and I was running their coalition. And Winnebago County's coalition was part of a statewide grant, and that initiative started to die down. It was taken off our grant as a deliverable, so we didn't have to do it anymore, and it was really hard to keep people involved. So through my work with the National Guard, I started to learn about more opportunities in other areas. And then a person that I used to work with in Winnebago County had alerted me that Boone County was going strong and that a new position had opened up. And she thought I would be perfect for it because of my background and, you know, just the magnitude of things that I wanted to try to accomplish. And she thought Boone County would be the perfect place to do that, because one thing that I did learn in Boone County is when people come to the table, they are there to work together. So, you know, everybody is all on the same playing field. There's nobody who's higher than another person. It's, you know, you're here, I'm here, let's work together and let's get something done. In Boone County, people really work to get something done. And that was super appealing to me. And so I was immediately drawn to it. And so I applied for that position and I got involved in Boone County. So that is where I have been for the last 8 years now.
Awesome. Wow. 8 years. That's a very long time. And yeah, like you said, public health is all about working together with people who want to make a change. So that's great. And working prevention and community health can be challenging at times, especially when it comes to like youth engagement and involvement, especially for like making a long-term change. So can you just tell us a little bit what keeps you motivated on those tough days and also like what inspires you to keep going?
You know, I'd have to say, honestly, it's the small wins that keep me going. So I would say lately, in certain areas of public health, it can be really daunting, or especially right now, we're facing funding cuts and, you know, all these things. And there's just so many things going on that are keeping us down. And honestly, when you get small wins, whether it's with an individual person or an organization that you're working with, that's what keeps me going. You know, when you get an organization who's like, yes, we are willing to work with you and we want to help you with this, you know, project wholeheartedly, you're like, I'll take it. You know, even if it's not all of them, it was one of them. So you're like, I will gladly, you know, move forward. And it's the same with the student. You know, when I run restorative programs in the schools and I help students who are dealing with substance use disorders, or who might have issues with holding substances for other people, bringing things to school that they're not supposed to. And part of their punitive measure is they have to engage in my program for restorative. And I talk to a wide array of students, and a lot of them have poor coping skills. A lot of them have dual diagnosis, you know, might have substance use and mental health disorders, things like that. Just a lot going on. And sometimes your conversations will seem hopeless, or just in general, coming into the class, you're like, man, some of these kids are really making it tough for me today. And it makes you feel like you're just not effective, or nothing you do is working. But then you get that one student who is having such a great conversation with you, and you can tell that they light up and they're absolutely taking everything that you have to say and trying to figure out how it fits into their mold and into their life, and they're willing to make a change, and they tell you about it. And then a week later, when they see you again, they tell you about the changes that they made, and they're excited about it. And then you're like, wow, okay, that is why I keep doing this, because I might not have helped every single student, or, you know, maybe not this time, but this kid, you know, got something out of it, and this kid wants to make a change, and this one is finding hope back in their life. So if I can do that for one person, I will keep doing it.
Yeah, definitely. It does help when you at least help like one person, because once you feel like that person came to you after like a week of, you educating them or something, and then you feel like so much better after they come to you and they're like, oh, like you actually helped me make a better decision. And so that's definitely what keeps me motivated too. And I like how you said like this, like celebrate your small wins, whether every week or every single day. So yeah, I like what you said with that. And so you work with students and you do work with student leaders through PALS, that Prevention Advocacy Leadership Strategies program. Can you tell us a little bit about what that is and what it looks like in schools?
Yeah, so when I came to Boone County, youth leadership for our coalition wasn't existent yet. So that was one of the projects that I started in 2019, and it kind of flourished. So we started to have really good turnout right away, and we had some super motivated students who were doing, you know, amazing things. And we had some great projects that came out of that. I would say when we started it, I was just hoping for if I can get, you know, even five. I was like, I don't really care. And I opened it up differently than I normally would have. I wanted to make it countywide because I wanted the kids to be able to all work together. It's such a small county. So I wanted them to be able to work together from each school. And I wanted them to be able to go to each school for their meeting. So we used to rotate schools and meet at night. And the kids would help come up with the projects, and they would help implement them, and they would, you know, they would take them on. So if it was like something during the lunch hours, they would host the tables and they would do it. Or if I needed a survey to find out, you know, why don't kids like to use the bathroom? Is it because of the, you know, vaping problems we have going on here? You know, that was something that was really big for a while there. So the kids were like, yeah, let's survey everybody. So each kid was like, we're going to survey 100 kids from our school, get a nice sample size. And they, you know, compiled the data and put it together and then would report out to us. So, I mean, it was super awesome to have, you know, these kids take on leadership roles and really try to help, you know, get some good data for us and, you know, help their peers learn about some of the work that we're doing, or get more involved, or take an interest in substance use prevention. So that's kind of how it started. And then 2020 became kind of a difficult time for us because then kids weren't in school and we had to get really creative. And we started to do communication campaigns and things like that. And that became a different avenue for how we worked with our kids. And then, fast forward past that, we rebranded a little bit. And so now we're kind of, learning what can we do differently to get kids more interested in doing leadership again. And instead of working with only high school, now we're looking to expand to more middle school. And we're trying to find other approaches that kids might like instead of just doing, outreach. We're interested in having them be involved in advocacy and doing more things with us at the state and local levels. So that's kind of where we're at right now with PALS.
Okay, yeah, thank you for sharing. And if you could tell us why you think having leadership skills is important for like middle school students or high schoolers, and why you think PALS is a great program for students to join, and or even what is something that you want parents or even like school staff to know about PALS, so you're able to get more involvement with that.
Yeah, that's a really good question. So, from working with students, and I will even say college kids because I also take on interns too, you really start to see some of the skill sets that some of these kids have and some of the things that they lack. So, I think it's super important for kids to be involved in leadership in any kind of capacity, even if they don't do anything major. So, like, even if they're not serving in a major role, like, oh, I'm taking over the whole meeting and I'm delegating, like, you don't have to do that to do leadership. It could be very small things. It could just be like, I will take on this task and report out, or I will help with, I don't know, making the flyer for this event, whatever it is. But it's one, a really good way for kids to utilize and showcase any of the skill sets that they have, because they might not realize that something that they're good at can be used in a leadership capacity and a community capacity. So I think that there's, when kids think of leadership, they think only certain students do that, or I have to be, really smart, or I have to be, performing at this level. And that's not the case. We never sought out students who were only a certain grade point average or only had this kind of a background. Like, we're interested in any student who's able to provide any kind of a skill set that they have, because they never know how it could possibly be used. And if they're not confident in something, it's a great time to start building that skill set. So I have kids who are like, I hate public speaking. Me too. I used to hate doing it. The best way to practice, though, is to actually practice it. And you can start small. You can start by just working at the tables at your lunch hours and just talking to your peers. It's that simple. Hi, do you want to play a game with us? Maybe it's cold calling, hey, let me cold call and see if we can get some support from other organizations to, help us with this event that we're doing. Those are little things that they can start doing. But then those types of skill sets can start to have a snowball effect, and then eventually they'll start getting more comfortable to do bigger things. So if we had an advocacy opportunity, maybe some of those kids might say, hey, I'm actually interested in, speaking on this subject, or I have a really good story that I'd like to share and I really want to use my voice on it. Great, we want you to do that, but either way, there's no skill that's too small in leadership. It's just taking the time to develop it and actually do it. So that's one of the biggest things that, if I could instill that in so many students, I really hope that they understand that, because those kind of skills are also what carries through as you get older and as you go into the workforce and things like that. It's so crazy to me when I have, even interns who are really lacking the simplest skill sets. And I'm thinking to myself, how in the heck are you in college right now? Like, they have no people skills, or they don't know how to look up from their phone, or they don't even know how to write properly. And I'm like, guys, these are so simple, and those are just simple skills that can be utilized in, all kinds of things that you do. And so, what a better way to start by developing them, by getting involved in your community and getting involved in like leadership and things like that. So any way that we can help, students develop some of those things, like, I'd like to do that.
Yeah, definitely. And I agree. Like, it does build confidence. And I think that middle school, high school students should start working on their leadership skills, and whether through PALS or through other programs. And I think it could really help them for their future. So, yeah, thank you. And prevention work, as we kind of discussed earlier, is like very challenging. Do you have any like of your biggest challenges that you have faced in prevention work? Or even on the flip side, what kind of impact or progress have you seen in your community as a result of your efforts or your community efforts?
So, I mean, we definitely have both. So, definitely some of the challenges that we face are, I would say, especially after the pandemic, Getting kids involved in anything is really stressful and hard. A lot of kids nowadays are like, I just want to do the bare minimum, especially when I'm talking to them in our restorative capacities. And we talk, I always get to know my students and say, like, what are you involved in? How is school going for you? What are some things that you're interested in? What do you want to do when you leave here? And so many of them don't have goals, or I don't do anything, or I used to do stuff, but now I don't really care. I just wanna go home. I just wanna hang out with my friends. I just wanna make money, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. They don't really see the value in, serving their community or serving their peers. They don't really see why that's such an important thing or how that can help them in the future. And that's so unfortunate, So I would say that that has become a big challenge for us, is just simply getting kids excited and interested in something and then actually attending it and continuing to attend it. But on the flip side, some of the successes that we've had, we have seen, our schools have really been an excellent partner with us in a lot of other programming that we do. They're very excited to have us, do restorative programming in their schools and interact with their kids all the time. They like to include us on a multitude of different things. Hey, the Red Ribbon Week's coming up. Yep, we want you to do a bunch of stuff here. Mental Health Week. Yep. You can do X, Y, and Z with us. So we're definitely starting to have more of a presence in the community. And then being involved in the Chamber of Commerce always helps too, because then there's other opportunities for many other organizations to learn about us and see some of the work that we're doing. And that gets them really interested in the things that we do. So then they, reach out to us and, ask, hey, we'd love for you to come educate our workplace on, substance misuse and mental health. And, what are some things that they can do at home to help with their own families? Or how can we talk to our parents about having good conversations with their kids? So, we're seeing some snowball effects in those areas too, just by simply taking the time to be as involved in our own community as possible. That's always been a rewarding experience. So we just continue to build on that. I would say another big one for us too is doing communication campaigns. When we started doing those with WTVO, that really helped boost our recognition in the community, because we get like 5,000 impressions, I'm sorry, 50,000 impressions a month from some of our videos being on like connected devices and local TV. And that showcases our students who help write the material and star in it. And we have locally grown celebrities like Michelle Williams and Sean Considine and Nicole Briscoe, like from our area. And they help take part in our message too. And so, when that's on TV, people recognize us all over the place. And we also try to utilize our local gems. So we might do videos at our local apple orchard or our local pumpkin patch, just main places that people like to go to help highlight, cool things in our community, but then also kind of foster that good collaboration with some of those local organizations, so that way then we're memorable to them too. And yeah, I mean, my kids and us, we're recognized all the time on TV, and they always say, oh, you're on that one commercial, or oh, you guys do that drug prevention stuff, or oh, I learned a little bit about one of the programs that you do. So I mean, that was, I think, a really great catalyst. And then lastly, I would say a big interest for us was with our advocacy work, diving really far into, going to our federal government every year in Washington, D.C., and establishing meetings there, and then doing it at the state level, and then now our local levels. I think that that has really helped us, be more recognized when we go to things, and has helped create more support for us in the work that we do too. So we have seen a lot of great things come from that, just because we take the time to have important conversations and meet with like our local legislators and, lawmakers, things like that. So
Yeah, no, that's amazing to hear. It seems like you guys have more of like a positive impact or progress more than the challenges that you face. So that's really good. And going back to PALS, and as you think about like the future of PALS and like the and also like the Boone County Drug Prevention Coalition that you work for, what are some hopes and goals that you have for like the next few years with PALS or the coalition? And how do you see the program growing or the coalition growing or evolving to continue supporting students in the community?
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, I would love to be able to have middle and high schoolers alike working together. And I would like to have some more of the high schoolers even mentor some of the middle schoolers. And, so that way then they can help develop some of those leadership skills from kids that they might look up to. So in the next couple years, I'd like to see that grow a lot more and for them to take on and host more events in their schools and community. And then I would also love to be able to bring our own students to more leadership driven conferences and advocacy events. Because one of the things that we don't have when we do advocacy is a presence of youth from our own community. And I would love to be able to bring a couple. I know we had an opportunity a few years back, and again, pandemic totally squashed it. We had our trip in place, everything. So it's really hard to get kids to be willing to do some of those things because that can be kind of scary. And, so when you get kids who are motivated and ready and want to do it, like I just want to fly with it. And I really want them to be able to, understand that their voice is so important and they can make a huge impact. And, we're here to help develop that and give them the avenues to do that.
Yeah, definitely. And like you said, the pandemic definitely kind of changed a lot of things, especially students' involvement with programs or even after school activities. Yeah, I really hope that you guys will be able to have more students' involvement with PALS and the future as well. But to conclude this podcast, is there anything else you want listeners to know about the work that is happening in Boone County or anything else that you would like to share about yourself?
I mean, I know I kind of shared a lot of things, but I mean, we're always looking for people who are interested in the work that we're doing. If they have great ideas or they want to partner with us in some way, or if there's a speaker that is willing to, come and do some great work in our community and they're like, "Hi, I have a great story," or I do a really great workshop or something. We'd love to, include you in some of the work that we're doing and see how we can bring that into our community." So, yeah, I think that that's pretty much, just continue to share resources, share the work that we're trying to accomplish in our community.
Yeah, definitely. Well, thank you so much, Alyssa, for joining us for this podcast this afternoon. It was really nice talking to you about leadership and everything that you do in our community. So thank you.
Yeah, thank you for having me. Appreciate it.